easier than the 613 laws in the Torah. All right, so we just need to always think, just keeping 10 is hard. Imagine how hard having 613. Okay, let's see if this works. Okay, Colleen. Oh, there we go. That is the cover of our book, The Seven Laws of Love by Dave Willis. I love a book like this written by a man because it really tells me he's in touch with a lot of this, and he is. Do you remember, and you've got a piece of paper, it looks like this. You should have a pen. I'm going to give you a second if you don't, if you could grab one. And then if you could think back to January 1st of this year, and resolutions. So the first thing is, can you even remember some of those resolutions that you made back on January 1st or 2nd, depending what you did on the 1st, resolutions that you made? Jot a couple of those down. I remember my resolution. I always do many because then I might hit one. So my first one was to read the book in 1 year. My other one was to exercise more, which is not good because that's so vague. Okay. So remember, I'm the person who taught you all how to go like this to strengthen and stretch out those muscles. Yeah, that is my exercising more. I do it every time the microwave is running. For 1 minute. I also made a resolution to give up sugar. Thank you, Melissa Call. It did not stick. I made a resolution to be kinder to my husband. That was a good one. And then to walk 10,000 steps a day. Okay. Do you all have a couple of resolutions? Okay, good for you. Okay, so somewhere around Lamentations, I gave up reading the Bible every day. I read it, but I don't follow the plan that we had set out. I do walk my dog daily. Somebody said you should name your dog 5 miles so that you can say I walked 5 miles today. I do still eat sugar. And I'm struggling to be kinder to my husband. So my thought is that maybe I should just give the sugar to the dog and walk my husband, which might be good. So, okay, I'm going to ask for a few resolutions. So if you've got one, raise your hand. Somebody share a resolution. You've got to have some. All right. Be patient with your kids. Okay, that's a good one. How many the rest of you that have kids? Yes, but I like that one. Okay, another resolution. Melissa. Slow down to speed up. You want to write that one down. That's a good one. Any other resolutions? One more. I need one more from the floor in the back. Oh, a new recipe a week. I wish we could exchange recipes because the hardest thing is coming up with what to fix. So now it's like which restaurant to order from. That makes it easier. So were those in January, were those resolutions, were those intentions, or were those commitments? What do you think? Okay, here's how you know. If you wrote down three, if there's something you're still doing today, September 11th, circle it. That probably was a commitment because you're following through with it. And that's really one of the basic differences between an intention and a commitment. I'm going to try it again. All right, Colleen. Thank you. I'm just going to let you know when I need a change. Okay, I don't think my clicker's clicking. Here's a definition from our book. An intention is a statement of what you hope or you plan to do. It's flexible and it can shift as circumstances change. But a commitment is a firm decision to follow through with concrete actions or accountability. Commitments are durable, even when motivation fades or obstacles arise. That's the difference. I'm going to give you just a quick story. I could make it long, but I'm going to make it very short. When my first husband and I were married, long time ago, oh my gosh, wow, it didn't last. We had a townhouse, and not far away, not even as far as Christie's table back there, there was a townhouse across from us, and Chris and Dennis Dover moved in. And we met them in an alley because we had both found a mother cat with kittens, and we were feeding the kittens, not knowing the other couple was feeding the kittens. So they took the little orange one and named her Pumpkin. I think it was a she. And we took the little tortoiseshell gray one and named her Spooky. So we had Pumpkin and Spooky. Turned out we had been married at the same time. We moved into our identical townhouses the same time. And so we started getting together Friday nights after work for dinner, and we started playing cards. So we played hearts, and then we moved into bridge. And we were so excited that we had found like-minded people that were going to be our forever friends. And they were our forever friends until Chris decided she didn't want to be married to Dennis anymore. This was the first couple that we had known that was married that we could relate to. And then suddenly she decided that she liked somebody else. And I just remember Dennis was so devastated, and we were devastated. And what happened was she always had an exit strategy. She intended to stay married, but she always had a backup plan in case it didn't work. And this backup plan was an old boyfriend. And she eventually took that exit. And that's what we don't want to do, is have an exit strategy when we've got a commitment. So there's a difference. I was thinking about who else can we relate to that has made a commitment, somebody that we can look up to and think about. And I came up with Nelson Mandela. I mean, this is a person of strong commitment. And he died in 2013 at age 95. He spent 27 years in prison because he was trying to get rid of apartheid in South America. And I'm sorry, Africa, not America, Africa. And he was offered freedom many, many times. And he always rejected freedom. He said, somebody who is imprisoned can't negotiate. And he never, ever did. He never settled. He stayed committed to his cause. He was released in 1990, but he continued his mission. He led peaceful negotiations. And in 1994, which is so amazing, he became South Africa's first democratically elected president. And what he did was he forgave the people who had imprisoned him. He was my strongest example until about, I guess it was about 1:30 yesterday. And that's when I got the news about Charlie Kirk. And it just broke my heart. But all I could think of is, he's our current day Nelson Mandela, somebody who stood for what he believed and was not going to waver no matter what. And whether you followed Charlie or not, you just have to respect somebody who was a man of conviction, and he was truly a man of conviction. Colleen? An intention points us in a direction. A commitment keeps us walking the path even when it gets really, really difficult. We've hit difficult times in our marriage, my current marriage. Steve and I, when it got really rocky, We didn't give up. We had made a commitment. We decided that we would go and get counseling, and we did, and it was amazing the help that we got and how much better we knew each other through counseling and could understand why we did the things that we did. I know that we're stronger because of what we went through, which was just normal struggles. There wasn't anything huge. But the act of commitment involved taking steps, not stepping off the path, but holding to it, and then just saying, let's get help. Part of that is our 30 minutes or more every evening at 5 o'clock. Colleen? Love is an unconditional commitment to selflessly serve, truthfully communicate, fearlessly protect, gracefully forgive, compassionately heal, and enduringly remain in relationship with and for the sake of another. Those are some pretty big things that we're supposed to do. And my question would be, who does that? Well, we know that that's how Jesus lived. He was our role model. But who do we know that actually does that? And maybe you know someone who does. Each of those. But there's such wisdom in that sentence. Just look at the first line of that definition. Love is an unconditional commitment. It doesn't only apply to marriage. So if you're not married, this message doesn't exclude you. This has to do with our family. It has to do with our friends. It has to do with our neighbors. It has to do with coworkers. It has to do with ourselves. It has to do with God. And it even has to do with our enemies. That's what's really hard. The author of our book, his name is Dave Willis, he encourages each of us to identify just one relationship that we can improve over the next few weeks while we're together. We're going to go deeper into the book, and I don't always, oh my gosh, I'm being honest here, because I don't always read the book that I'm up here talking about. this one. I want to suggest you pick it up. So Colleen can always get more copies in the bookstore. This is a good book, and I would encourage you to pick it up for yourself, but also because as we go through the next few weeks, various speakers are going to talk about parts of it, and you can read along with it, and I think you'll get more from the book if you do. He suggests that we make a commitment before God and possibly someone that you trust, maybe somebody at your table, and then apply the 7 laws of love to that relationship. You've got it on your yellow piece of paper, and it's positioned at the bottom of the page so you can cut it out. How's that? Just along the line, cut it out. Put it someplace where you're going to see it. Bathroom mirror, refrigerator, in your Bible, just someplace that you can come back to it. So over the next few weeks, we're going to go deeper, but here's our plan. I'm just going to give you a brief overview. Love does require commitment. Say that to some person. Say it. When I think of the word commitment, there's another word that just jumps out at me, and it's integrity. If I could be one thing, I would like to be a woman of integrity. And that's who we're supposed to be. So we're going to talk about that. But say that to somebody. Pick a person that you'll be accountable to. Barbara is going to talk about love speaks truth. That person that you're thinking about, confess to that person. Confession is really good. Anything damaging that you've contributed that might have broken a relationship. Love conquers fear. Christy's going to talk about that. Enlist this person that you're thinking of for help in something that scares you or holds you back. For example, if you're giving a talk and you're a little nervous about it, maybe talk to that person and say, can you help me? Help me with my fear. Alicia is going to talk about love offers grace. If you've harmed somebody, even in a small way, this is going to help us to apologize and to seek forgiveness. Again, I think of Nelson Mandela because that's what he did. He forgave. Love selfishly sacrifices. Allison's going to talk about that. Do an act of selfless service for this person. Wow, that is the nicest thing you can do. And I do have a person in my mind that I am committed to walking through the seven laws with. And I anticipate that we're going to have an amazing healing. I just know it because I feel so convicted of this. Love brings healing. Think of how this person might have been wounded in their past. And commit something specific to promote their healing. And maybe just the simple act of asking, how can I help you, might be the little wedge that opens a door to healing. And then last, we've got Randy's going to speak on love lives forever. So we want to create a ripple effect. If you do this for somebody and with somebody, then at some point, if you get that sense that there is a commitment and there's a healing and it's reciprocal, it goes both ways, you might want to share that it's like Alcoholics Anonymous. You pay it forward. You ask that person and let them know why you've been doing this. It's not just for them, but it's also for you. And then see if they would be willing to commit to doing that with someone else. A ripple event is what we're looking for. There's a story in the Bible. I'm not going to go into it because I want to give you some time, more time on your table. But it's the story of Ruth. And Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And it is such a precious story. If you're not familiar with it, it's an actual book of the Bible. You'll get there. But Ruth made a commitment when her husband died, Naomi's son, that she was going to stay with her mother-in-law. So this isn't a husband and wife commitment. This is another person. And that's what I want you to always be thinking about. And once her husband died, Ruth was free. She could go back home to her family, but she chose to stay. And when Naomi said, go, I release you, Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die and there be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. That was the vow that my daughter had me write about 10 minutes before she got married to her husband, Abelio. I just sobbed. There was no makeup on my face by the time the ceremony started. And she said it to him in Portuguese. And he said it to her in English. At that time, we thought that they would stay forever in his country, Portugal. And I was the one who was sobbing. But it turned out he came to America. He made the commitment, where you live, I will live. And he did die here. And I think about his mother and the sacrifice she made. We didn't know the future, but this was a commitment that was made. That was a husband and wife, but we can make it with anybody. It could be that difficult child that you've got, or the difficult grandchild you've got. It could be a relative in your family that is hard to deal with and to live with. It is a commitment, and that's what we want. So who does all of that? Again, we want to be the women who somebody can say, ah, that's what Patty did. That's how she lived. I can say that's how my daughter did. I can say that's how Nelson Mandela lived. I can say that's how Charlie Kirk lived. I don't know them. I know my daughter. But I would like it to be what people would say about us, that we are women of integrity. We are women of commitment. I do believe this book is going to help us walk that path and stay with it even when it does get hard. For those of you that are married, you might remember vaguely saying something about love, honor, and cherish at your wedding. I'm sure I did. My strongest memory of my wedding was Jim Reeb. I believe he played the guitar, but I visualized the ukulele. I really do. I just think there was a ukulele somewhere involved in this. And he, after we said those words, he had us kneel down. And all I could remember as I knelt down, because he didn't rehearse that with us, that we were going to kneel down, was on the bottom of my right shoe was a neon orange sign that said, Sale 1999. And so I don't remember anything, because all I could remember was trying to figure out how to cross one foot over my other foot or to scrape the sticker off. And, you know, so, but I do wish that I had those words. I wish that what I had said was what Ruth said to Naomi. We can always, through our words now, recommit ourselves to our husbands. We have that. It doesn't have to be one and done. It can be renewed all the time. As we work through this book, what I'm hoping is that I will recommit myself to my spouse, to my friends, to those tricky family members, and maybe even somebody who I think of as enemy is a hard word, but maybe a foe. I don't know. But I know that as God blessed Ruth, and we are the beneficiaries of Ruth's commitment to Naomi, and God fulfilled his promises through Ruth, I just want to believe that God's going to do amazing things through us this year. So again, I want to encourage you, buy the book. Follow along in the book. I want to thank you for committing to moms this year. How many of you are actually committed to moms? Thank you. Thank you for those that have come back. I just loved hearing each of you. Mara, it's just so nice to hear you're here, and Janae, and so many others that have committed to coming back. We need you here. We need moms to get stronger and stronger and stronger so that it endures. That's what we're hoping for. That's why we're here. I want to thank you and just pray for you. So if you'll just give me a moment here. Lord, we stand on your promises. We know that when we're faithful in small deeds, not always in the biggest, but even in the smallest deeds, we honor you. And we know that it's your blessings that carry us when things get rough, when the times are hard and the path is rocky. So, Father, I just give this time to you. I would pray that the talk around the table would be music to your ears, and that you would lift each person here, send them out to do your will in the world, and then bring them back next Thursday. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.